Well, welcome to Digging Deeper. It's a ministry of City Church. It's a podcast where we talk about topics and truths that we don't always have time to on the weekends. I'm joined here with Pastor Lisa Tony.
Hey, hey.
And Pastor Obi. And I've got this idea that I want to start maybe turning into a thing, but that's going to be up to you guys if you like it and enjoy it. So like it and enjoy it. and this thing that I've been playing with in my mind is the idea of pick a passage, any passage, and you got several pastors, and we are coming in with no prep whatsoever. We're not having fancy, I don't have any notes. I just got my Bible. In fact, we literally just picked it right before, right here. And what I want you guys to kind of come away from, A, hopefully some encouraging truths from Scripture, which is always a good thing for all of us. And B, just kind of an inner working of how communicators would then go and then take that information and relay it to other people and to test our skills a little bit to see if we can put something together quickly. So we'll see what happens. So welcome, Pastor Lisa.
Thank you.
Welcome, Obi. Glad you're here.
Hello.
I'm going to give it over to our guest today to pick the passage.
Okay. So you have to realize, you guys, when you're talking to pastors, we like all our research tools. And so like this has struck fear into all of our hearts.
All of our hearts.
So just so you know, we're all trembling a little bit here. But this is good because you should be able to open up your Bible and have the Lord speak to you through it. So we're good.
And just, I have to say that me and Kyle, we did a podcast before. And the one thing that I said that I would be terrified and frightened to do is on the fly, like Bible answer man type stuff. And sure enough, the next podcast, he pulls me and says, guess what we're going to do? I'm like, oh, all right. So,
well, one of the things that I want to do, and I said it before, is next time I'm going to randomly call someone. And so maybe you'll be watching, you had a phone call and you just got to have a passage ready because Pastor Kyle calls you on a Thursday between 10 and 2. Odds are it's because I'm going to ask you for a passage you want a pastor to talk
pick
about.
Pick your passage pick with a
passage,
pastor.
Any passage. And you know what we're also doing? We're buying time in the intro, lengthening our content. So we're accomplishing many purposes right now with this pointless banter.
All right.
Pastor
all right,
Lisa,
right,
take it away.
So here's my passage. I'm going Old Testament. And honestly, this is one of my faves. So I've loved this passage a long time. And it's in Deuteronomy chapter 30, and it's verses 19 and 20. And it says this: "This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursing. Now choose life so that you and your children may live, that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life." Mm. All right.
Beautiful.
So this is a passage in Deuteronomy. So it's part of the Pentateuch, the first five chapters of the Bible. Moses is our guy here. He's figuring out what the Lord is calling him to do as Israel is starting to hear from what the Lord's call on their life is. And this is a passage that really gives them some choices, I think.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
I think what I first do when I'm prepping a message, and we talked about this, I usually read it three times and just write down after three times, like initial, like main things that stand out. Right now, we read it a couple times before this, so this is kind of my third time. But I try to pick out key phrases. And so that's where I start. And then I go context and geography and history as I'm doing my research. So just immediately looking at this, I mean, the first, if I was thinking about what the main thing here is, what it is to choose life. Mm. And just, I would start from that perspective and build from there. And so I think, you know, going back to what I know about the story of the children of Israel, and you can correct me if you know this passage a little bit better, but you know, going backwards would have been that choice of choosing death. You know, Moses a lot of times talked about how they wanted to go back, and wasn't it better when we had the, you know, the food in Egypt and everything was great back then? It's like, no, that was death. And so that choice of choosing life is that moving forward in something where God has asked you to do it, but it's not easy and it's not comfortable. So I would start there, and build my message from that. Obi, where would you go?
I like to, well, first, you know, get the context of it, you know, knowing that it's Moses, it's on the old, it's in the OT and all that. But then also, like, who's your audience? Who are we speaking to? And what is the need? You know, and every congregation is going to be different, right? The need of your congregation will be different than the need of our congregation, and seasons too, right? And so you think like, okay, well, this is what this text is talking about. And then you think, okay, what do we need to speak to our congregation? Because we're leaders over a flock of, and we're shepherds over the flock, and how can we guide them in the best way? And I loved how it says that laid before you is death, blessings and cursings, life and death, blessings and cursings. Mm-hmm. And that's not just true in the Old Testament in Moses' day, that's true today, that every single day we have the choice of blessings or cursings. And so in the context of our church or whoever you're speaking to, what are those choices of life and death? What are those choices of blessings and cursings that are in their lives today? And then speak into that, like, okay, how can you choose life? How can you choose and not choose death? Because that's really what he wants you that to live, you know, so that it says, therefore choose life, that you and your offspring may live. That's the heart of it, is that God wants you to choose the better choice of whatever those two choices are in your life. So I'd probably go in that direction when the application part of it.
So same kind of idea, choosing life. Mm-hmm. And so kind of seemed like the choosing life, you know, then if you zoom out, this is where I would go to the context a little bit, just the immediate in that. I don't have my research tools right now about all the history and all that stuff, but
he's sweating a little bit, everybody.
I'm sweating a little bit. And, but I do love the, if you back it up to verse 11, that's how I always do it, is just, you know, honing in and then zooming out. And so zooming out, verse 11, he says, for this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. Mm. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over by the sea and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it. And I love that idea that God's will for us is always easily accessible. It's not hard to find, and it's not far off. It's not in the sea. It's not in the distance. And then he reaffirms in verse 15, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. And then he goes on, he talks about if you obey God and you obey his commandments and you keep his statutes, then you shall live and multiply. And so then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you're entering to possess. But then the turn, which is right before what you just read, but if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you're going over the Jordan to enter and possess. So I think like the word of God is always set that I read it in terms of there's an opportunity that's always there to choose life and all that's going to come from that. And there's always some kind of, but if you don't, that's in the Bible. This is hanging out there. Some preachers, and I want to ask you a little bit about how you go with that. Some preachers go, you know, the Christians know, but if you don't. And so if you hang out too long there, you know, yes, it's in the Bible, but you turn them away. I always think that you have to at least go there a little bit because but if you don't, it's not like you spend your whole message in the but if you don't. But I think it's a good reminder for us of like, yeah, there's that opportunity, but there's also the challenge and the what it or the but if you don't kind of vibe. So how do you approach those in the text? Do you tend to stay on the positive part of it, or do you when you get to the but if you don'ts? How would you get that deal with that part in the passage?
Yeah, I mean, just full disclosure, I will definitely hang out on the positives way more, you know. But I think it's easy for most of us to hang with the negatives ourselves, you know. And so I really like, you know, I kind of double down on that God is for us and God has good things for us, and that there is a beauty in the sacrifice we make to be followers of Jesus to say no to the things of the world and yes to the things of God. Yeah. And so I guess I kind of always double down on trying to highlight those because Faith is hard. Walking in faith is hard. Walking not in this world is hard. And so I think I tend to land there. Not that we shouldn't talk about them,
yeah.
You know, because and this passage is kind of a good one for that because it gives you those choices. You know, there are choices that we're making, whether you're going to choose to walk that way of life or death or blessing and cursing. And, you know, I mean, just getting four kids out of the house this morning, there was some cursing that could happen, and I have to choose whether I'm going to curse or bless four humans trying to get them out the door.
I can only imagine. Oh my goodness.
They're good humans. I love them. Usually there's a lot of blessing, but
yep, I can imagine.
It's a choice. It is a choice that we make.
And I can see that positive in all the times I've heard you communicate that positive part of yours. And at the same time, you have a gentle way of sharing the, but if you don't, you couch it more on the, hey, there's the choices and this and that. My style a little bit is I want to dig in there for a second, not to make people feel guilty and bad, but just to like sit with their choice a little bit. Mm-hmm. Willie, whenever I hear his voice, a lot of times, you know, it's like the Holy Spirit, my wife, Willie, my former mentor, Larry Osborne. It's like they all just are in there rattling around. Mm-hmm. But Willie has often said, you know, he doesn't spend a whole lot of time on the negatives because he's like, people know it. They're already there and they're feeling it. Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing. But for some reason, some little part of me, I don't want to pick the scab off, but I just want to rub it a little bit. And so that they can be drawn to the grace of God.
Feel the contrast, yeah. Right?
Right, because I think if we just stay in the negative as communicators, then we've totally missed the whole point of the gospel. Like I just preached a Sermon on the Mount not too long ago, and if you read the whole thing, he's like building up all these things people have to do. He's telling stories and all that. And in Matthew 5:48, the big end of the whole thing, he says, "And you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." And I imagine everybody just sitting there like, what? Like, and feeling the weight of, I can't measure up to that.
No
and the whole point of that message was, you're right, you don't and you can't, but because of Jesus, you can. And so I think for me, when I think of that choosing life and choosing death, I will always spend a little bit of time in the negative to draw us in a towards the grace of God and towards that life. And then when you see Jesus come out of that in Matthew 5, that you must be perfect, he then transitions to the Lord's Prayer and it drives them to the grace of God.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And I think that also goes back to, you know, highlighting showing the need. And in order to know the need, like, why do I need to know this? You kind of have to touch on the negative, like, this part of life, this part of culture, whatever it is hard. It sucks. You know, it's a negative, you know, so why do I need to hear about choosing life? Because this is the positive, you know, and so that draws people into wanting to know, like, this is the why. You need to know this because this gets you out of this situation. And then going back to like, what's the every audience is going to be different. Every congregation is going to be different, you know? And so example, like what's the need today to choose life? Well, right now, and I just spoke on this the past week, suicide's on the rise, depression's on the rise. Yep. There is a lot of things that people are choosing cursing or falling into death, mm-hmm. You know? And so more than ever, do we need to figure out how to get out of that negative, the negative side of things and choose the life? Because, I mean, that's what God wants for us. He wants life. He wants happiness. He wants you to be blessed. And so how do we get out of the negative? You know, that's the why of this. And then, you know, once you highlight, this is the need, this is why you need it, this is how you get there. You know, and so in this scripture, it gives, you know, it says, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice and holding fast to him. You know, so the preacher in me is going to be like, oh, okay, 3 points right there.
There it is.
All right. Love God, obey his voice, and then hold fast to him. And then you can dive deeper into those things. I always like to dive into the word that is used because there's always things that are lost in translation and things. So I'm cheating. I have my laptop here, so I do have some stuff that I'm looking at. But, you know, looking at the phrase holding fast to him, another way to put that is clinging onto him, cleaving to God, yeah. You know,
so
and so there's a lot of things in life, and now the applications out of it, a lot of things in life that want to pull you from clinging to God, you know, and whether it be the worries, the stresses, even, you know, family, that's really hard. You know, sometimes the hardships of being a parent can pull you out of that moment of, you know, relying on the Lord. But that's like the times when you really need to cling on to the Word, you know, so...
I love that word. And then the communicator in me wants to, you know, have a powerful visual that goes along with that, you know. And back in the day, I got trained to be a lifeguard. And so going through the whole process was really intense. And I remember I had to like learn how to tread water. My instructor would give me like these cement blocks and I was supposed to like hold these cement blocks and tread water. And it was like weighing me down. But the whole idea is how that feels when you feel like you're drowning in the water, you know. And if you've ever, you know, we've seen the movies or maybe you've been out in the water and you've had someone throw you a ring buoy or a life vest and you cling to that right when you get tired because that is your lifeline. You cling to that. And so if you've ever been in the water in a situation, sometimes our life feels like that, right? Yeah. We feel like we're drowning or we're overcome by so many circumstances and then someone else is like, hey, here's a cement block, take that too. And you're like, I can't take anymore, you know? And so when I think about the idea of clinging to the Lord, it's like he is our life preserver. He's holding on to it for all we're worth.
That's awesome.
You guys are both so good at visuals, and I've seen it with both of your communication stuff. For whatever reason, I don't think that way, but that just kind of opens, like, you know, then I would go to, well, what are those lifelines that God is throwing, you know, right now to whoever's listening to it? And off the top of my head, I got nothing except that we need the people of God. We need his church. And sometimes it's just being in those environments a little bit. But I think that is so good because people do feel like they're drowning and they do feel like they're worried and they do feel like I can't handle one more thing. And so I have two questions. I have one for you and I have one for you. My one for you is, what are the things that you would research in this more? And my one for you is, what are the lifelines that you would throw to people? So, because you don't want to leave them with this holding the cement block and they're like, oh, there is a life raft. It's the Lord. But what are the lifelines you'd throw out?
Right.
So those are my questions for each of you.
So for me, I love the visual stuff. I'm the same way. Like I think, okay, well, how can I visualize this? Because if I just speak the word, but not visualize it, it's not that good of an anchor in your memory. And I always want to anchor something visually into someone's mind so they
look
can
look at us using the water illustrations today.
Sure,
I'm loving
it. There you go, anchor. And when you were talking about that, like cling to, like I used to do a lot of rock climbing back in the day, and you know, you're clinging on to anything you can get your grip on, right? And if you let go, it's just a natural course of gravity that takes you down. And so if you're not clinging on, you're going downwards. And so it's like, you're either going up or down, you know, or staying still where you're at. And with the Lord, we need to cling on to him as an anchor or else you're just gonna drift. And so the things like when we were talking about, you know, depression is the thing that's in culture right now that is dragging people down towards death, you know. What I would research is the words. I love to hear the context of how these words are being used because there's so much that gets lost in English, in the English translation. Like I said, when it says hold fast to God, that can mean cling to, but it could also mean to closely pursue or to hope. And then, so now I'm thinking, okay, well, one of the biggest problems in culture today, especially in the younger generation, is depression and just the feeling of sadness. And if the word is saying to cling to pursue God, to hope in God, man, hope is one of the best things you can do to combat depression. And so there you have your problem and you have a solution. You know, having something to hope for is one of the best ways to get your mind out of the gunk of whatever is depressing you, whatever is bringing you down, and look forward to something that's so much better. And there's nothing better to look forward to and put your hope in than the Lord. And so I would probably start researching hope and how you can apply that into people's lives. So
good. Yeah, good. Love that, Obi. Well, and I'm thinking, Kyle, as I'm thinking about, okay, what are some practical ways we do that? And this passage is so cool because it it gives you a choice, which I'm a big fan of a choice. I like that. No one wants to be told what to do, you know? So God's saying, hey, here's your free will. Choose what you want to do. But then it gives us the opportunity to kind of refocus and center around if we're choosing life, if we're choosing blessing, if we're choosing God, that we need to, you know, have these actions in our life. Are we loving in the way that God calls us to love? Are we holding to Him? Are we listening to His voice? And maybe that's the hardest one for me and a lot of us maybe is to listen to His voice. And it says, and then the Lord is your life. There's a promise there. And so I think so much of this is a mindset and a behavior choice. Like, are we aligning our lifestyle with the things that God has for us? And if we don't, we need to, like, when you have your priorities aligned, you get less stressed because you have a focus. And so this is giving you that focus. And so that means, okay, am I listening to things in my head that are helping me focus on God? What are your podcasts that you're listening to? What is the music you're listening to? What is the Netflix choices you're making at night? You know, like, if you don't want to be overcome by, a sadness of the state of the world, switch your news channel to something different. Find a Christian journalist. Find, you know, so we have choices that we make of how we fill our head with these things. Yeah. And I think those choices are powerful. And who you let inside your head has a lot of influence on you. So I would, definitely. I would have us do maybe a little inventory on who we're letting inside our head.
Yeah. And that speaks to verse 20, which says obeying His voice, you know, to obey His voice, you need to hear His voice. So are we hearing His voice? Are we drowning God's voice with so many other things?
Yeah.
You know, all like you said, the news or social media or whatever the
yeah,
the next
whatever you're
thing
watching
is.
On Netflix, you know, I mean, some, you know, I've got four kids, so we're always constantly monitoring their iPads digital. And all their digital, right? But then I was just listening to someone who's like, oh, but are you as parents, you know, what are you watching when they go to bed? You know, are you like in our hypersex culture? Are you filtering what you're watching or are you exposing yourself to that too? Because, you know, you're just a great big giant hypocrite.
Life and death.
If you are making choices that are different when the kids aren't around than when they are around.
That's really good.
And you are a sponge, right? That our brains are sponges, and when you get squeezed, that's what comes out, right? And so if you're filling your head with that gunk, when that's what's going to come out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would probably end it talking about being the lifeline to people in our life that need, because we've been saved, we've been rescued. If I were thinking that, I'd probably be where I'd be heading towards in the end of it. And, you know, I remember one time you talked about in a message, like you mapped out all your neighbors so you knew their names and stuff. Cool. Just something simple like that is so powerful. At least, hey, like I know these people around me, not all of them, I'm working on it, but knowing their names, you're available to be a lifeline should there be a time in their life when they feel like they are drowning. We can't go to people and, hey, you know, I mean, sometimes there's a place for, you know, do you need Jesus? You know, but a lot of times I find it's just being in their life and then knowing, discerning when there's a point where it's like they're drowning, they're searching, they're looking for something. And so I think that's where I would probably go is, finding ways to be that lifeline, but we have to be in a good place ourselves to be able to be a lifeline for other people. That the drowning thing, you know, if somebody's drowning and they try to grab someone, then they can take the other person down, yeah. You know, so we got to be in a good place. And I would probably end it somewhere around being that lifeline for others.
And then the visual side of my brain is going off of the theme of the lifeguard and that you're saying. And so like to visually end that, to anchor that thought into their mind, I would physically have a rope and a circle buoy, whatever they call it. You know, and just throw it out to people, you know.
The hard kind and hit someone in the
head.
Yeah,
no, have the congregation actually feel this is a lifeline. This is what it feels like. And guess what? You see it and you know it's something that you can grab. And then so the application side of it, like, do people see you and know that they can come to you when they need it, you know? Because they have the choice. You can choose not to grab it. You have the choice of life and death, but do they know where to reach to? Mm. And then so if you are the lifeline in your neighborhood, do your neighbors know, oh man, this is I'm going through this really rough time right now, and I can go to Lisa. Mm-hmm. because she's a lifeline and she's just right down the street, you know. And so she, that's her number. I got her number. I got her, you know, address. I can knock on her door. And you are that lifeline that, that people can be like, hey, I can just go, hey, there's that lifeline. And there's the application side of it. So,
well, I think we got a sermon right
hey,
there.
Hey, let's go.
So you know what? This is how it works. It's real and it's raw. Obi, was it that bad?
No, it's not that bad.
Not that bad, right? And plus with three people, I knew that God would put something cohesive.
Now, is it uncomfortable? Yes, it's uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable.
Is it polished? No. But, you know, we pulled some good stuff out of that.
I'm a big believer in getting comfortable with the uncomfortable.
All right.
And so here's the last question. I kind of know the answer. I think I know what you guys would probably say. But what would you title it?
Oh.
This is where I waste a lot of time because most people don't remember the title. It's like I just spent a lot. And I'm like, it's got to be. Mm-hmm. I'd probably call it Life and Death.
Ooh, that's good.
I don't know though if that. What would you guys say now?
You start thinking, okay, what's the SEO, the search engine optimization title that people will search on YouTube? And you know, because if they need something, like what would they search? And so that's where I would go. Now this, I haven't done this yet, but I just listened to a podcast that some people are going to AI.
Yeah, ChatGPT.
And typing what to title, and then it spits out just, I don't know if it's real or not, but I'll give it a shot.
We do not write our sermons that way, I promise you.
No, they don't use it.
Well, not till next week.
I read that now, as of right now in whatever, 2023, it's not good enough to actually get the hard truths and all that stuff, but search engine optimization, they've been using it to figure out what are the most searchable terms and coming up with the best titles for that. So people, when they type in, they'd find it. So I don't know.
So I'm search engineing you. What would you title it? Final answer.
Oh, man. Where to go to when you need to choose life.
I like it.
Something like that.
Pastor Lisa, you get the final word.
Choices.
Choices. Just one word.
One word, baby.
Choices.
Choices.
I like that. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Lisa, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me here.
We love having you here.
Thank you.
You've been such a friend to our church. And so thank you for taking the time to be with us. We hope this was helpful for you. And if it is, share it with somebody else. And we'll do it again sometime. And if you got a passage you want us to pick and do,
send it in.
Send it in. And we won't prep it. Right, Obi? Obi will. We won't tell Obi what it is. And we'll do it next time. Have a great day. Catch you next time.
Bye, guys.